Good morning, and welcome to the Tyson Foods Investor Update Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Jon Kathol, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and welcome to the Tyson Foods Incorporated Investor Update Call. On today's call are President and CEO Tom Hayes and CFO Dennis Leatherby. Slides referenced in our remarks are available on our website, ir.tyson.com, and on the Tyson IR app. A replay and transcript of this call will be on our website and app later today. Our remarks today include forward-looking statements as defined in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements reflect current views with respect to future events, such as Tyson's outlook for future performance on sales, margin, earnings growth, and various other aspects of its business. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from our expectations and projections. I encourage you to read the release issued earlier this morning and our filings with the SEC for a discussion of the risks that can affect our business. Because we haven't closed the books on our fourth quarter, we won't be able to be too specific with those results on this call. Those questions are best left for the regular November earnings call. We are specifically prepared to talk about the 17 outlook, the 18 outlook, financial fitness, and our approach. The commitment to restructuring requires us to issue the decision in a timely manner. We are using this opportunity to give you other information that may help provide clarity. You may also notice that we have several accounting qualifying statements in the release. This is necessary because we are not in a position to reconcile GAAP to adjusted EPS guidance, with the books not being closed at this time. I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded on Friday, September 29, 2017, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. This broadcast is the property of Tyson Foods, and any redistribution, retransmission, or rebroadcast of this call in any form without the express written consent of Tyson Foods is strictly prohibited. I'll now turn the call over to Tom Hayes.
Okay. Thank you very much, John, and happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for joining us on such short notice. Sunday is the beginning of our 2018 fiscal year, and while we haven't closed the books on 2017, we do know that we're coming in stronger than previous guidance, primarily due to the better-than-expected earnings in the beef segment. We now expect adjusted earnings between $5.20 and $5.30 per share for fiscal 17. So while we're pleased that we'll report our sixth consecutive record year of adjusted EPS, we're focused on delivering an even better 2018 and setting the company up for long-term success. Our fiscal 2018, today, we are issuing guidance of between $5.70 and $5.85 adjusted earnings per share, representing an increase of approximately 8 to 13% over fiscal 2017. With strong demand generation across all of our businesses and favorable conditions expected to continue, we project all segments will perform very well in 2018. Operating margin expectations for beef are in excess of 5%, while the pork segment outlook is above 9%. The chicken segment's return on sales is approximately 11% expected. And we expect the prepared food segment to perform well with returns in the 11 to 12% range. Some of our segments have been consistently operating at margin levels at the high end or above our normalized ranges. So therefore, we will be reviewing those ranges in the back half of our fiscal year 2018. We're extraordinarily optimistic about our outlook, and we believe it's important to proactively control costs and drive efficiencies, especially when we're on a growth trajectory. Our approach to financial fitness removes inefficiencies, reduces costs, and is focused on continuous improvement to create that fuel for continued growth. We believe now is the best time to transform our company to meet the changing needs of a dynamic marketplace. As we've discussed on previous calls, we're using integration of Advanced Pierre as a catalyst to look at everything with fresh eyes. Through continuous improvement, we will be more efficient operators, and we're gaining momentum as we're seeing paths to make processes faster and more cost-effective. Partnering with customers is always our priority, and we can be even better if we consistently ask ourselves, does this create value or not? Our growth now and in the future will be enabled by ongoing financial fitness. We believe we can achieve cumulative net savings, that's cumulative net savings, of $200 million in FY18, $400 million in fiscal 19, and $600 million in fiscal 20. These net savings will be the combination of synergies from advanced PR integration, technology-driven efficiencies, and the elimination of unnecessary costs. The biggest impact will be in the prepared foods and chicken segments, and our focus will be on supply chain, procurement, and overhead. We're flattening our organization structure to enable agility, faster decision-making, and greater levels of accountability. We began with the executive leadership changes announced in August, and we're continuing to streamline our structure by eliminating 450 positions, with most coming from our corporate offices in Springdale, Chicago, and Cincinnati. We're incredibly thankful for the contributions of those who serve the company and wish them the best as they make this transition. It's difficult to make these decisions affecting people's lives, but it's absolutely necessary to grow our business, deliver ever-increasing value for our share owners, and sustain our business for the long haul. Ultimately, our customers and consumers will benefit as we improve our responsiveness and decision-making speed. Financial fitness is not only about cost savings, it's about accelerating our ongoing efforts around continuous improvement, performance management, and lean thinking. We must have a culture of accountability and stay focused on what will keep this company growing in 2018 and into the future. In our 2017 fiscal fourth quarter, we will be reporting restructuring charges of approximately $140 to $150 million, consisting of a $70 million impairment for software-related costs as we transform the enterprise to a more modern platform, $45 to $50 million in employee termination costs, and $25 to $30 million in contract termination costs. This is a time of transformation at Tyson Foods as we continue to grow our business through differentiated capabilities, deliver ongoing financial fitness through continuous improvement, and sustain our company and our world for future generations. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Dennis to walk us through the outlook and our capital allocation plans. Dennis?
Thanks, Tom, and good morning, everyone. Earlier this year, we defined our strategy to sustainably feed the world with the fastest-growing portfolio of protein-packed brands, and our announcement this morning builds on that strategy as we fuel growth through the financial fitness model that Tom described. As we wrap up another record year in fiscal 17, we expect growth in sales, operating income, and EPS in fiscal 18. As Tom mentioned, our fiscal 18 adjusted EPS guidance of $5.70 to $5.85 is 8 to 13% more than our estimated fiscal 17 adjusted guidance and represents a five-year compounded annual growth rate of just over 20%. So here are some updated thoughts on our fiscal 18 outlook. We expect top-line sales growth of approximately 6% with revenue around $41 billion as we see sales growth in each of our segments, and we'll have the benefit of a full year of Advanced PR sales. Net interest expense should approximate $325 million. We currently estimate our adjusted effective tax rate to be around 34.5%, and CapEx is expected to increase to around $1.5 billion. We expect to generate a tremendous amount of cash in fiscal 18 through strong operational execution, and the proceeds expected from the sale of three non-protein businesses. Our capital allocation priorities haven't changed and remain governed by our disciplined focus on driving long-term shareholder value as we plan to use our cash to reduce debt and grow our businesses organically through operational efficiency and capital expansion projects, along with investing in innovation and brand building. Also, we will still have the flexibility to acquire businesses that support our strategic objectives, along with returning cash to shareholders through share repurchases and dividends while maintaining plenty of liquidity and investment-grade credit ratings. We expect to bring our net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio to below 2x during Q3 of fiscal 18. When we reach this goal, we plan to resume our share buybacks at a level similar to our repurchases prior to the Advanced PR acquisition. This concludes our prepared remarks. Denise, we're ready to begin Q&A.
Thank you, Mr. Leatherby. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If your question has been addressed, you may withdraw from the queue by pressing star, then two. We ask that you limit yourself to one question and one follow-up. If you have further questions, you may re-enter the question queue. And your first question this morning will come from Adam Samuelson of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning, Adam.
Morning. So I guess first, thinking about 2018 and the updated margin targets that you just laid out, relative to what you had outlined in August on earnings and again reiterated in early September, the most notable change is really the chicken business, about 100 basis points higher and a stronger outlook for beef. Really on chicken specifically, can you give a little more color on where the increased confidence comes from? Is it mix, food service pricing, grain, some of the cost actions that you've announced today, just a little bit more color on where the chicken margin confidence comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Adam. So we believe it'll be around 11%, and we expect the business to grow importantly. So it's not just the margin we're excited about, but the business is going to be in growth mode, especially value-added frozen, fresh, about 3% overall, which is we're very excited about. We've added additional processing, and I think you certainly know this, in Green Forest. That comes up next month, and the business is practically, I would say, essentially sold out. We're expecting a relatively flat feed cost environment. I mean, if you look at the forward curve at this point, that's our expectation. And certainly, as you called out, you know, the focus on the reducing the cost structure does have an impact, as I said in my prepared remarks, on the chicken segment. And so that will be a big element, and continuous improvement. So we are amping up continuous improvement through the Tyson production system within the poultry organization, and our chicken business continues to improve. We're growing in the right areas, so that's why we feel so bullish about the business.
Can I just add a couple other things?
Yep.
Remember, Advance Pierre did have a small chicken business,
right,
where if there's incremental operating income from it. And then don't forget in financial fitness, the chicken segment's a beneficiary of that as well.
That's helpful. And then on the cost savings longer term, we already knew about $200 million of Advanced Pierre synergies, so really it's $400 million kind of new items that have been identified today over the three-year horizon. Can you maybe bucket those a little bit more clearly in terms of the areas you're really going after and kind of how the cadence of those by area?
Yeah, you know, so the let me just back up a little bit for everybody's benefit. You know, as I said, as Dennis and I talked about in previous calls, we are using Advanced Pierre. We have used the integration of Advanced Pierre to look at everything. So when we integrated Hillshire, it was largely focused on, you know, trying to make sure we maintain the growth mode, but it was procurement synergies and manufacturing. We looked at everything that would make us more efficient, inclusive of making sure that we had focus on the businesses in the right areas. So it's the reason why we changed the organization structure to prepared foods, fresh meats, and poultry. You know, coming out of that, Adam, there was a tremendous, you know, appetite, and I would say I was extraordinarily pleased with how the organization responded to this, to make sure we have a really tight corporate center. So the resources that each one of those businesses need are in those businesses, and we have a very tight corporate center that's focused on enabling, you know, the growth businesses are expecting. But as we get into it, we realized we were making tremendous progress, and we saw even more momentum now. Now, I will hurry on to say that we're not done. You know, we have other opportunities in manufacturing that we have not brought to the table yet. So the transition that we're going to make with some of our manufacturing facilities and consolidation is still work that's being done. We're going to take that very carefully, make sure the plans are of the absolute highest quality before we come to our investors and tell you what the plan is. So this is before we look at those changes.
That's all very helpful. I'll pass it on. Thanks.
Yep.
The next question will come from Farha Aslam of Stephens Inc. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Farha.
Could we have just some more color on how much will actually come from supply chain versus procurement versus overhead? Just a little more color on that.
Take that, Dennis.
Sure. We at this point, we'd rather not break that down simply because of the impact we're having on many great people that have worked for us for a long time. It's, as you might imagine, it's more weighted toward the supply chain and then a mix of the other two categories being procurement and overhead.
Yeah, and I'd say also far there's some competitive elements in there. You know, it's just not in our best interest to give you that detail. What I will share is that you should be highly confident. You know, the teams that have delivered these plans to get the cost out are incredibly detailed and very excited about and very bullish on the prospects of making it happen. So I know that's not giving you the numbers that you're looking for, but hopefully a little bit on the confidence level.
Sure. And perhaps you could talk about procurement. This is perhaps a opportunity that's unique to Tyson because of your advanced peer acquisition, your Hillshire acquisition, and then the legacy capabilities that Tyson has in protein of how you're altering the supply, the procurement chain today versus in the past in beef, chicken, and pork.
Yeah, I'll start, and then you know, Dennis owns procurement, so he can come over the top with some color. You know, one of the things that has been you know, a very exciting you know, sort of effort as we've gotten into this is that the teams have looked at what the best cost formulations are for our products, and there has been incredible collaboration with the fresh meats team. So we are looking at things we can do differently to make sure that we have the materials that we need that are going to make the best cost formulations for our customers and consumers and deliver the right margin expectations that we have on an increasingly, you know, expanding basis. And so that, I would say, is not necessarily directly at your procurement or indirect procurement perspective, which is significant. I'll allow Dennis to talk about that. But it really has accelerated the, you know, drive to get the most out of what this model, this company model, can produce on an ongoing basis. Yeah.
And Farah, think of it this way. We sell tens of billions of pounds. That's considerable scale that we can leverage. And when we bring in an entity like Advanced Pierre in off of our rates, it's just a pretty clear opportunity. In addition, it's also always an opportunity to relook at everything from top to bottom, whether it's in any manner of materials that we have in our organization and just try to tighten it up. And when we have a great team that steps up every time we ask them to.
So any change on your buy versus grow in chicken? Any changes like in terms of percentage of protein you source internally versus externally?
Two different questions. No change in the buy versus grow. We are still, and I'll say, focused on getting more supply around us, as we announced with our plant. That is what we're continuing to focus on. You know, but as it relates to the internal sourcing, absolutely. So that's the point I was making just a moment ago. The grabbing, you know, that business, that volume that we need from the fresh meats team into Advanced Pierre or the other products we have, prepared foods, has really been, you know, sort of a nice opportunity for us.
Great. Thank you.
The next question will be from Heather Jones of The Vertical Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. Would love to do a deeper dive into your 18 sales guidance. We've heard from a number of investors that it's difficult to get to that figure given the potential for meaningful price deterioration, particularly in the beef and pork segments in 18. Given increased supply. So I was just wondering if you could walk us through that by segment and just so we get greater clarity around that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Heather, sales will be up about close to $2.5 billion for FY18. Beef and chicken will be growing the most. So it's a blend of volume, mix, and price, but beef and chicken are the ones that are growing. Certainly with prepared foods growing primarily from the acquisition of Advanced Pierre. The other thing is pork will be up slightly, just based on the more volume of hogs. We do have a bit of a bridge, and Dennis, maybe you can take us through that.
In terms of the sales bridge, so let's start with $38 billion and change for 17, probably about a billion or so in chicken. About a quarter of that is the incremental APF sales that go to our chicken segment. The rest would be organic growth. And beef, you know, we're looking at upwards of $800 million, and that's just quite simply more and heavier cattle in our regions where we operate. And like Tom said, forks up a bit, and then prepared foods, the incremental benefit of advanced PR, less the synergies can get us to just under $41 million.
Okay, perfect. And wondering on your chicken, your segment guidance for margins, the 11%, are you incorporating significantly lower boneless, skinless prices in that forecast? Or if this downdraft that we've seen continues, could that be potential upside?
You know, as we said, I believe it was on the last call, you know, when we have low boneless, skinless prices, that helps Tyson because we're so, you know, massive and prepared. So whether it's par fried or fully cooked, that is a good thing for us. Doesn't change necessarily. We've got a value-added mix. You know, what we're focused on is trying to, of course, accelerate growth. But I think the biggest thing to take away when we see the boneless, skinless market come down is that we make more money. I mean, that's how Tyson works.
That was my point. That was actually my point. So what I'm
okay.
I know it's good for you guys. So I was just wondering if your 11% incorporates meaningfully lower prices into that, because it is a benefit,
okay.
Or the downdraft that we've seen recently, could that be further upside to the 11%?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, that's sort of, we've got that baked into our forecast. That's absolutely, you know, one of the things that's helping us for sure.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The next question will be from Jeremy Scott of Mizuho. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Jerry.
I was hoping that maybe you can split out the synergy targets with a bit more detail, maybe just on this upcoming year. You obviously upped your guidance on poultry by 1%, so that's about $125 million, depending on your sales number. Is that, you know, how much of that is the synergy capture, and how much of that is just your better confidence in the business?
Let me try it this way, Jeremy. Way to think about the synergies is over 90% would go to both prepared and chicken, with prepared getting more than chicken by a multiple of two, perhaps. Does that help?
Yeah. How about for next year? Because you're guiding to 11 to 12% on prepared, so I think that might be a little
sure.
bit below what we're modeling for.
Think of it.
Go ahead.
Sure. Think of it that way throughout the entire program, all 3 years.
Okay. And then on the CapEx guidance, $1.5 billion, does that include the new poultry plant?
It does.
Okay. And is that what is the run rate of CapEx going forward?
The run rate of CapEx beyond 18?
Mm-hmm.
Probably we'll head back more toward $1 billion, which I would add is quite a bit more than depreciation. So we're still in growth mode for years to come.
Okay. And then just one last one. I think there was some remaining synergy capture for Hillshire. Should we interpret this announcement as the new deal, so to speak, or is this $600 million plus any incremental? I know you have you're looking at other manufacturing options, but
the new deal. I like that. The new deal. Yes, you should. And what, you know, let me take also a shot at your question as it relates to, you know, the margins for, and maybe bridge between 17 and 18. You know, if you look at our 17 earnings in prepared foods, you add APF, subtract divestitures. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here, right? But and then the incremental DNA also. You got to adjust for, you know, financial fitness, as Dennis said. A large portion of that is hitting the business, and then just the legacy business improvements that we've continued to talk about. That's where you get the number that looks like operating income of about $1 billion, right? And that's sort of where we are.
We're prepared.
We're prepared, right? And but that is hopefully that gives you a bit more where it's coming from. There's a lot going into it, but there's certainly that's it hopefully helps.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The next question will be from Rob Moskow of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the question. For your synergies, you've been very clear that these are net synergies as opposed to a few years ago with the Hillshire acquisition, which were growth synergies. And that obviously gives us a lot of confidence that that can drop to the bottom line. Can you give me a sense of what is it net of? Like what's the difference between net and gross in your definition? And what's the reason why we should feel comfortable that it drops to the bottom line and you don't have to reinvest it like you did in the other acquisition?
Yes, thanks, Rob. Net of any other costs, we have, you know, certainly the charge that we're taking, right? So that's severance and the other costs. What, you know, we feel extraordinarily confident about is we have the right spending levels against innovation and the brand building that Sally needs in order to drive the prepared business and that Doug needs to drive chicken. So we feel that we're well suited there. And so there's no reason for us to up those investments. We have the right levels in. And the types of things that we're going after, procurement, you know, supply chain, and overhead costs, those are things that we are creating a different model. We're going through a transformation, and we're just operating more efficiently. So there's no reason for us to spend above that. We're focused on, you know, committing to delivering those net savings. And that's, you know, proof's in the pudding, right? We'll come back each quarter and we'll talk about it. But that's, I would tell you that we have extraordinary confidence on it.
Okay. And I just want to make sure I got my numbers right for fiscal 18. Did you, were you giving guidance by segment for 18 that pointed to 11% chicken margin for 18 and about $1 billion of operating profit for prepared food? Is that a number that I heard, or have I got the year wrong?
No, you heard it right.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
The next question will come from Michael Piken of Cleveland Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just saw, you know, some recent reports about, you know, the possibility that there's some resistance on the new chicken plant in the neighborhood in Kansas. How confident are you that you'll be able to get the chicken plant done by 2019? And, you know, where do you stand in terms of finding a new location?
Extraordinarily confident. Yeah, extraordinarily confident. You know, we made the decision because we need the supply. You know, we are on hold in Tonganoxie for sure. We're evaluating several other attractive options. I will say there's incredible support for Tyson in a number of other communities. So rather than just looking at, you know, other locations and that were already in the pipeline, we're actually expanding based on the inbound requests we're receiving, and that has caused us to have, you know, tremendous confidence about maybe we get pushed back by, you know, a month or two, but the plans that we have are solid to be in 19.
Okay, great. And, yep. You know, I guess, you know, once that plant is up, do you see some of that, you know, I guess some of that $600 million, is that from some efficiencies you think you can get between your value-added business and the commodity business once that comes on? Is that at all incorporated in those numbers?
That would be upside. We haven't considered that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And the next question will come from Ken Goldman of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Tom Palmer on for Ken. Wanted to ask a couple of clarification items first. First, on the timing of the cost savings, do you expect the savings to benefit EBIT by the full $200 million next year, or is that the run rate by the end of the year?
The full $200 million for the year.
It is. Okay. Thank you. And then is the new pizza topping facility included in these cost savings figures, or is that separate?
That's separate. So that's a part of the base business improvement, and as I called out before, and so it's not a part of these numbers.
Okay. Thank you. And then just wanted to talk on the normal outlook. You mentioned you might revisit it later next year. Excuse me. When we think about, I mean, you've mentioned prepared foods potentially going 12 to 14% from 10 to 12 a couple times. When you think about when you revisit these normal assumptions, is it based on the business's current run rate and kind of its cost structure at that time? Or is it more forward-looking than that? Just trying to think about how these revisions might play out.
Yeah, you know, what I would say is we don't have a
a definitive formula. What we want to do is make sure we're providing the proper guidance to our investors about what we think about the business prospectively, for sure. But we have to have, you know, a demonstrated track record of actually delivering those margins. So that's why, you know, we don't do this on a, you know, sort of willy-nilly basis. We really take a you know, strong look at whether or not we can sustain those margins. What I will say is the reason why we're going to look at this in the back half of fiscal 18 is we have continued to demonstrate margin improvement in these businesses that we feel like we're at that point. Now, it will be considering how the cost savings are coming in. Are they beating our expectations? You know, do we have, you know, more demand? We're continuing to focus on the perimeter of the grocery store and the center of the plate of food service. It's really been an extraordinary growth story for us. You know, how that plays out, that's certainly going to influence, you know, how we feel about it in the back half. We just wanted to get a bit of, you know, sort of momentum behind us here and another 6 months before we come back to you and share a point of view on that.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
And the next question will be from Ken Zaslow of Bank of Montreal. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Ken.
Most of the questions have been asked and answered. I just want to make sure, on the cash flow, Dennis, can you talk about how your cash flow, given that the higher outlook is, you know, both for 17, 18, and it sounds like also 19, can you talk about where you would be on the cash flow and what you would end up doing with that and how to think about that?
Sure. Ken, are you talking in terms of operating cash flow or free cash flow?
Free cash flow would be great. I'll take either one. I could figure
okay.
out the base of it.
But probably free cash flow, and the way we look at it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
It just seems like the cash flow expectations, given all the EBITDA increases and stuff like that, the cash flow should be stronger than your initial expectations, and I'm just trying to figure out how you're expecting to deploy that. I did hear that you said on the third quarter you will be starting your share repurchases. So just kind of a little bit more color on deployment of your cash flow and where it's going to be.
Sure. So think of it this way. Operating cash flow last year, 2016, was about $2.7 billion. This year, will be similar or better. Next year, well over $3 billion. We'll have $1 billion in CapEx this year, $1.5 billion next year, $300 million in dividends. So free cash flow this year, $1 billion and change. Next year, probably upwards of $1.5 billion. So typical with our capital allocation plan is we're going to delever down below 2x. We see that happening in our third quarter, which is a nice situation to have for us because we can start buying back stock at that point at a pretty heavy level, unless we have M&A in the meantime, which is always good. So it's a very growth-oriented cash flow, and the deployment is just very disciplined.
And then my follow-up question is on return on invested capital. As you have worked through the Hillshire deal, you guys kind of gave out some return on invested capital. I'm assuming the return on invested capital advanced year is starting at a higher level and going to a higher level. Can you talk about that just generally?
Sure. More specifically, we tend to look at it for the entire company and not just the acquisition. As you know, when we do go through our synergy programs, it encompasses the entire company, so we think it's valuable to look at it that way. This year, probably return on invested capital will return back to, you know, 16 or so, and next year it looks like it's going to head toward about 18 or so. So I think overall we're managing that quite well.
Great. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Welcome.
And ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Tom Hayes for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, apologize for the late notice. Hopefully this was value added for you as you model our company. And just to finish with, you know, we are extraordinarily excited about not just 18, but beyond based on everything that we're doing here. And I do have to conclude by saying for those that are listening, of our team members, certainly thank you for those that have served the company. Extraordinarily grateful for all the efforts that everybody has put into what has made the company successful in the past. And thank you in advance to all of our team members that are going to make us even stronger going into the future. Greatly appreciated. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.